Begin the current daf in Sechtes B'Metzia daf Lamed Ches. Begin 3 lines down for the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the series of the topic of this Perek, which is the Perek Hamafke, talking about the halachas of a deposit regarding a shomer, someone that's watching someone else's thing. So the Mishnah says the following halacha: Hamafke Peres Itzel Chaver. If someone deposits his produce, his fruits, by his friend to watch for him, says the Mishnah, Afilehin Avudin, even if they're getting ruined, for example, through mice or through rotting, Lo Yigabahan, says the Tanakama, he doesn't touch it, the one who's watching it doesn't touch it to sell it, as the Gemara will explain the reason why doesn't he go ahead and touch it. But he leaves it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees. He says, no, Meichrin Bifnei Bezdin. The guy's stuff is getting lost, it's getting, the mice are eating it up, or it's decomposing. So Meichrin Bifnei Bezdin, you sell it in front of the courts. You have to do it in front of the court so that they make sure that you're selling it appropriately, but you sell it because that's like the halacha of a Shavas Aveda, because here it is, it's getting lost, and you have to save it and return it to him, so you sell it that it doesn't get ruined. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason to Tanakam? Seemingly, Pshim Gamliel has a good point. It's no worse than when Shatfa Nahar, you have to save it before it gets ruined. It's the same thing over here, where it's going to get ruined, why don't you touch it to sell it? So Amrav Kahana, he explains, Adam reitz bekav shaloi. A person desires a measurement of one that's his, meaning it's so dear to him, something that is his own, that he toiled, that he worked to get it, that he would prefer one kav that's remaining from, let's say, 9 kav that he started off with, even though mice ate it up and it's rotting, but at least if there's one measurement that's still his, he would prefer that more than metisha kav shel chaveri, more than 9 kav of someone else's thing, meaning if let's say it was 9 kav and it's starting to get ruined, so the person sells it and then he's going to get the money, he's going to be able to buy 9 kav of this thing, produce, from someone else, he doesn't want that. I want the field that Solomon planted. I want my thing. I worked hard for this. I gave it to you to watch. It's getting ruined. I would prefer one of mine than 9 of someone else's. And if you're going to sell it, I'm going to have to get 9 of someone else's produce. I wouldn't want that. And therefore, says the Tanakhama that although it's getting ruined, you don't sell it. He'd prefer what remains from what the mice don't eat. But Nachman Yitzchak gives a different interpretation. He says, Cheshinon, the reason why we don't sell it is because we're concerned. Shem Asan HaMafkid, because maybe the Mafkid, the one who deposited, knew that he had certain produce here by this guy who was watching it from. Maybe he made that produce Truma U'maisra Malkam Acher. Maybe he has other produce. He's constantly involved in agriculture. So at one point, he took this produce. He didn't have where to put it. He said, hey, can you do me a favor? Watch this stuff for me. Now, he has other produce, which are tevel, untithed produce. You have to separate Truma Meister. Now, instead of going through the whole process of separating, he says, oh, I remember I gave it to that guy to watch for me, that 9 kav. Oh, that proportionally will be the amount of Truma Meister I have for this thing. So now, you can't go ahead and sell this that's getting ruined, because maybe it's Truma and Meister. Because maybe he designated it as a Truma Meister. If you're going to sell it to someone else, those non-Kahanim are going to be eating Truma, which is forbidden for them to eat. And therefore, since maybe he made a Truma Meister, even though it's getting ruined, you can't go ahead and sell it because you might be selling to other people Truma Meister. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara asked him the following Braisa on Rav Nachman Yitzchak's interpretation. The Braisa says, HaMafkid Peres Ezel Chaver, if someone deposited produce by his friend, says the Braisa, like the opinion of the Tanakhama of HaMishnah, HaBezel Lo Yigabahen, so he doesn't touch it, doesn't sell it. Says the Braisa, Lefikach, therefore, since it's forbidden to sell it, now, as we'll see, seemingly that the reason why it's saying it's forbidden to sell it is because a person would rather have 1 kav of his than 9 of someone else. Now, therefore, since the halacha is that you're not allowed to sell it, so the chazaka is the original owner, the guy who owns the papers that he gave to someone else, he could assume that they're still around and they weren't sold, because the halacha is that you can't sell it because the guy would prefer his own produce even if it's much less than it started off with. So therefore, says the Braisa, it's permitted for the balabayis isa isin truma maisa makam acher. So the homeowner could go ahead and make it truma maiser for other produce that he has somewhere else that he has in his house. That's halacha the Braisa. So that has the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Kahana. The Braisa makes a lot of sense according to Rav Kahana, who he holds that the reason why you're not allowed to sell it in the first place is because that a person would rather have his kav than 9 of someone else's. So he doesn't want the money. He'd rather have whatever left over, even what the mice don't need. So that's why it says, as a consequence, as an outcome of this halacha, okay, now that the shomer cannot go ahead and sell it, So now he could rely that it was never sold and that it's still around and that he could use it to separate for his Truma Maestro for the Talmud that he has at home. But El Rav Nachma Yitzchok, but according to him, my lefikach, how can you say this halacha that he separates Truma Maestro from someone else as a misayiv, as a consequence, as an outgrowth? To the contrary, it's the siba, it's the cause. The whole reason, according to Rav Nachma Yitzchok, that you're not allowed to sell it is for this reason itself. How could you say that it's an outcome that, oh, now that you're not allowed to sell, so now, oh, he could rely on that? It's the other way around. The reason why you're not allowed to sell is because he goes and separates Truma Maisa from the Teva that he has in his house. So according to Rav Nachma Yitzchok, how do you understand the Braisa? It's in the reverse. So that the Gemara says, no, it's not a contradiction. Hachakam, and this is what the Braisa is saying. Hash the Amar Rabbanu le'nazven, now that the rabbis say that the Shomer is not allowed to sell it, even though the produce is getting ruined. Now, why? The Chashinim, because we're concerned that maybe the owner of the Paris had designated these Paris as Truma. Now, therefore, the assumption is that you're not allowed to sell it because maybe he had made it into Truma Maisa. Now, but post that, Lefikach Balabayis Isa Isin Truma Maisa Makam Acha. Now, that's why even Leketchila, the original owner could go ahead and make a Truma Maisa on somewhere else. So it's like, it's the bookend. Maybe he made a Truma Maisa Makam Acha. Because of that concern, you can't sell it. The Shomer, because maybe it's already Truma Maisa and you're going to be selling to Zarim to non-count Truma Maisa. Now that the original owner knows that he's not allowed to, because maybe they would think that he did, now he could initially go ahead and do that. Because maybe originally you would say he can't even do it himself. Because although they would suspect that maybe he did, he has to suspect that maybe they sold it. But now he knows that they didn't sell it because they know that because they think that he might have sold it, they can't. So now he actually, l'katchila, initially go ahead and sell it because he knows that it wasn't sold. And it's there for his tevel to be chal, that would be the Truma Maisra on his tevel because they already sold it. He doesn't have that to have been designated as his Truma Maisra because it's not there anymore. Now the Gemara qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbah Bavachana Amar Rabbi Yechanan. He says that machlekes, the whole machlekes in our Mishnah regarding this produce that's getting ruined, if you sell it or not, is only b'chdei chesroinan. Only if it's according to the proportionate amount of how much produce starts diminishing, which is brought in the Mishnah later on, the Memam and Aleph, for wheat and for rice, it's a certain amount. Every produce diminishes at a certain rate. That's where their machlekes was, that it's starting to diminish. So do we do him a favor and sell it, or do we not? It says, Rabbi Yechanan, but if it's more than the normal amount of how much a thing starts diminishing, everyone agrees, even the Rabbanan would agree, that you would sell it in the court, even they would agree. Now, the Gemara explains that this halacha of Rabbi Bachanan and Rabbi Yechanan, it's definitely disagreeing with the interpretation of Rav Nachman Yitzchok, this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, because if you would have to be concerned, like Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, that maybe the owner had made this produce into truma, and that's why he can't sell it, then even if it diminished more than the amount that it normally diminishes, what's called Yesimich Dechasroinen, it would still be forbidden to sell it. Because maybe it's Truma Maisa. Who cares that it's a huge loss? Who cares? But it's already Truma Maisa, possibly. And that was the reason why Rav Nachman Yitzchok said the Tanna Kamma and our Mishnah holds you can't sell it. So no matter how much it's going to be lost, you might be selling Truma to Zarim, to non-Kamm, and you can't sell it. So definitely this interpretation of Rabbi Yechon disagreeing with it, because he holds Rabbanu would agree that it's Yesimich Dechasroinen, that you would sell it. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, however, but Adirav Kahana Milei Mepligim. But do we say that Rav Yechanan would even be disagreeing with the other interpretation, that of Rav Kahana? In other words, do we say that when Rav Kahana said that if the person would prefer one kav of his own than nine kav of someone else, what that sounds like is that he would prefer that he loses the amount of that he started off with nine kav, which if you sold it, he would only have the money to buy nine kav from someone else, until you're left to really just one kav, that's obviously more than kedei chesroinen. That proportion is a huge loss of money, more than the normal diminishment of produce. And therefore, then you would say Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing, because he holds everyone agrees by yesimich kedei chesroinen that you do sell. Or do you say that no, it wasn't specifically when he said the number from 9 to 1? What he meant to say was that he would prefer to lose a little bit, but it is still within the range of Kedeches Ra'inan, but not more than that. Because if it was more, then maybe Rav Kahana would agree to the Allah of Rabbi Yechanan that even the Tanakam would hold that you would sell it. So the Gemara answers, yes, Kikam Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana say this, it's Bechteches Ra'inan Kama. It was only within the normal range of loss. Then the guy prefers, like, you know what, I don't mind if I lose, because I like what I worked for. You're going to save me money, I'm going to be able to buy someone else's stuff. I don't want someone else's stuff, I want my own stuff. But more than Kedeches Ra'inan, then he would agree to Rabbi Yechanan. Now that the Gemara asks, but V'haraytze B'kav Shaloi, Metisha Kamen Shalachem Kamen. But he says, a guy would prefer his one, then nine of someone else. Meaning if you sold his stuff that would start off nine, down to one, that's definitely more Kedeches than Kedeches Ra'inan. And still he's saying that in the opinion of Tanna Kama that you don't sell. Now the Gemara says Guzma ba'alma. It's an exaggeration. It's a way of hyperbolic way of saying something, but it's not really that he meant from 9 to 1. It has to be Kedeches Ra'inan, but he agrees to Rabbi Yechanan. If it's more than that, then even the Rabban would agree that you sell. Now Meisavei, the Gemara asks on the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan from the following Braisa, which we quoted before. The Braisa said that since the halacha is that the shomer can't sell it, so lafikach, therefore, Balabayis, now the homeowner knows that he can't sell it, so he knows for sure the produce, no matter what's happening to the produce, it's still there, so he could designate it, Isa Isin Truma Maisa Mokam Acher. He could designate that produce for Truma and Maisa that he has for Tevel somewhere else in his house. On that, as the Gemara, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, Valechish Dil Mahavalahu Yoisim Echdechis Shroinan, but there has to be a concern. Because maybe the homeowner shouldn't be so confident that he could designate that as Truma Meiser, because maybe something happened. Maybe there's mice in that guy's house. Who knows? Maybe there's a lot of mold that it diminished more than the amount that it normally lacks. And therefore, the halacha is, as Rabbi Yechanan said, Vizab Ninu, that even the Tanna Kamma, everyone agrees that in that case, the shomer could sell it off. Now the problem with that is now, it's v'ka'achol, so it's going to come out that the homeowner is going to be eating tevelim, tevel, because he was like, oh, I know for sure, they're not allowed to sell my stuff. Okay, so I'm going to designate it as Truma Meiser. Problem is, his payers are not going to be fixed, because actually those produce were not there at the time that he relied on it to go ahead and separate for his tevel, because it actually got ruined very fast, and it was more than Kedeches Ra'inan, and it was sold off. So how could the Braisa say that he's allowed to be confident and rely on that when your Birchanan says the Shemir is allowed to sell it if it's Yesimich Deches Ra'inan? So the Gemara answer is no, Yesimich Deches Ra'inan lo yishchiach. For produce to diminish more than the normal amount is not something common, and therefore we don't have to be concerned for that, and the homeowner could rely on it, although there is such a possibility that they might sell it off, but he doesn't have to worry about that. We go based on laws of majority, laws of what's common, and therefore he's allowed to go ahead and designated for his Truma Maisa. Now, but in that the Gemara asked, but the opposite way should still be a concern. Because if he says the Gemara, okay, he's allowed to go out and designate it because he doesn't have to assume or be concerned that maybe it was more than Kedeches Ra'inan, which if it is, then they're going to sell it, but he doesn't have to be concerned that he could separate his tevel on that Truma Maisa that he has by that person's house. Fine. But ask the Gemara, but if it turns out that things are getting really bad for this produce, it's getting worse than normal, what's the halacha? So you just said before from Rabbi Yechanan. So mezavnin lehu. So then you would go ahead and sell it? On that as the Gemara, but then we run into a different problem. Because v'leichesh shema ason balabayis truma maisa mokam acher. Because then you have a different concern. Maybe the homeowner, as the halacha, the quote in the Braisa said, he's allowed to rely on that. Maybe he designated this produce as truma maiser on the table back home. So, although he halachically is not doing anything wrong, even if they sell it before, after, it doesn't make a difference because he can rely on that. But when they're selling it off, it's going to turn out that they're selling to non-Kahanim Truma Meiser. Because maybe he had already designated before they sold it. And then they got really bad and they sell it off. What are you selling? To people? It's Truma Meiser. How could they sell it? Maybe it's Truma Meiser. So that the Gemara answers, no, keep him as Amnina Nami. You're right. When the Shomer sells it off to other people because it's getting really ruined, to save money for the owner, lekahanim bid made truma mezamenin lo. They sell it to kahanim in the value of truma. They sell it, which is a cheaper price because it's the supply and demand is not that much of a demand, because the only ones that could eat this are kahanim, and also they have to protect it in a certain level of tahara. So that's who they sell to, and that is no problem. Even if the owner had designated as truma and meiser, doesn't make a difference. Kahanim are allowed to eat that, and therefore that's who they sell it to when it's yesim echdei chesroina. However, the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, how we're interpreting this halacha of Rabbi Bachan in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, so Ul Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, according to Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, that he said that according to Tanakama, the Shomer is not allowed to sell it because maybe the homeowner had designated as Truma Meiser. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean? The same way we just answered the question of Rabbi Yechanan, Namin is Abninu Lekahana but made Truma. What's the big deal? You're saying that even though it's getting ruined, the Tanakam and the Rabban don't agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. You don't sell it. Why not? Said Rav Nachman Yitzchok, because how could they sell it? Maybe the homeowner had made it as Truma Meiser. If it's Truma Meiser, you can't sell it. What do you mean? Sell it to Kahanim for a cheaper price and you'll save the guy all the loss that is getting ruined. So that the Gemara answers B'ha Plegi. But it's on this point that Rav Nachman Yitzchok and Rabbi Bachana disagree. The Rabbi Bachana Saber, Rabbi Bachana, who said in the name of Yechanan, holds, it's very uncommon for produce to get ruined more than the normal range of how much it depreciates and gets ruined. Now, and when it does happen that it's going to get ruined more than it takes a long time for that normally to happen. And only then will it be ruined more than and therefore, the whole concern that we had was maybe the homeowner made a Truma Maisa on somewhere else, explains Rabbi Bachana, he already had made it Truma Maisa way before it got ruined Yosef Mechdech Esroinan. Because a person, since it takes a long time, it's got to take quite a few months, maybe even, who knows, a year, for it to get ruined really bad, that it's diminished to that point that's more than normal range of getting ruined. Now, for sure, even if the homeowner was using this produce as Truma Meiser for Tevel he has back home, whatever other produce that he has at home, that Tevel, he doesn't hold on to it so long because people need to separate to be able to utilize. You can't utilize Tevel. They don't hold it on so long to fix it. And Hilkach, therefore, ki havelu yesem echtech esroinen, when it is these months later that it's getting worse than it ever would imagine within the normal range, it was already... It's either that he never separated onto that, and therefore you could sell it to anyone. And even if yes, it's already had been that he already separated. So Nezamnina Lekahanim had made Truma, so therefore you could sell it to Kahanim in the value of Truma because there's no more concern over here. Who they're selling it to is not a problem because even if he made a Truma Meiser, he's selling it to Kahanim. And the other concern that, wait a second, but the homeowner is going to be stuck because he might be trying to use this as separating his telephone because he's relying on that. And the problem is you already sold it. And that's not a problem in this case. Because the only way you're allowed to sell it, like Rabbi Yechanan said, is when it's Yisimich Deiches Reinen. Yisimich Deiches Reinen is such a long time till it gets there. If the homeowner is going to separate, he already did separate it. So there's no concern that he's going to be separating and he's going to be eating tevel that because it was sold off and he couldn't have designated. No, he already designated before. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, of Rabbi Bachana, as we explained the halacha, the price, so why it holds when it reaches Yisimich Deiches Reinen, that then he's allowed to go ahead and sell it, and moreover, that the homeowner could always designate his Truma Meiser on the produce. Now, but Rav Nachman Yitzchok Saba, he holds that no. Yes, Mechdech Esroin, the Mishka Shchiach. It is common, it is possible, it is likely for a produce to get ruined more than the normal range of how much it normally depreciates. Now, and therefore, when it does happen, it could happen right away. Now, and that was what Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok's concern was, and that's how he learned up the Tanakhama and the Mishnah. V'iyam et nizabninu, if you're going to say that when it reaches Yesh Minich Estroinen, like Rabbi Yechanan held, like Rabbi Chana said, that you could sell it off, but zimnin de kodimu mazmul hu, if that's the case, that could have happened a week into this day, suddenly everything is ruined, the mice ate up, who knows how much of that ratio. So according to Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, the guy, the Shem, would be selling it. Now the problem is, then let's say a few weeks after that, not so much long after, gave it to the guys to deposit, which according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok could have already been Yisimich Deiches Reinen. Then he's going to want to separate the homeowner on that produce. Oh, I gave him that amount. I'll designate that as my Truma Meiser. Lo yoda dezavna. He doesn't know that the Shem already sold it off. And now the homeowner is going to be eating tevel. Because he thought it's chula now. He thought it was separated from that produce he has over there. But he doesn't have produce over there anymore. He didn't do any hafrasha truma samaisa because the guy already sold it off. And that's where Rav Nachman Yitzchok learns in the opinion of the Rabban in the Mishnah that no, you're not allowed to go ahead and sell it. Because even though, yes, you could sell it to Kahanim, that would be taking care of the problem if he had already separated truma samaisa. But the concern is actually the other way around. Maybe he didn't yet separate it. And because he holds that it could happen right away that it goes Yetzer Mechtei Chasroinen. If that's the case, then he's going to want to separate it, and he's going to be separating on nothing, and he's going to be eating Tevel. For that reason, held the Rabbanon that even if it's getting ruined, a person cannot touch it. You can never sell it, even if it's Yetzer Mechtei Chasroinen. The Gemara continues asking on this opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Meisve, the Gemara asks on the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, which again he holds that everyone agrees. Even the Rabbanu hold when it's getting ruined, you don't touch it. But if it's Yeshem Echdei Chesroin, and then you do sell it, the Gemara asks from that on, from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamafkid Peiris Ezel Chaver. If someone deposits produce by his friend, Virkivu, and starts rotting, and it rots. Or Yain Vehichmetz, or wine, and it's soured. Shemen Vehivish, oil, and it got ruined. Dvash v'hidvish, honey, and the taste of the honey, just, it's soured. Says the Tanakama, says the first opinion, originally Yigaben Divrei Meir. So a Meir holds like the Tanakama of a Mishnah, that you don't touch it. That's his opinion. The Chacham say, no, Eis Lehem Takana, that we do rectify the situation, which the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to explain what type of a takana could there be. Whatever could have been ruined, it already is a ruin. The way we described the case was that it's soured, it's spoiled, it's already done. So that will say on Amud Beis, what is there still to salvage? But the Chacham say that we do a rectification. U'meichen mebezen, and if we sell it in the courts. Now, u'kushu'meichen, whether the Chacham qualify, which this is the opinion that we're discussing with, that a person does do something to save. When he sells it, but when he sells it to other people, but not to himself, so that people shouldn't suspect him that, oh, he sold it to himself at a cheap price, and he didn't do a fear thing because he's selling it to himself. So therefore, he's only allowed to sell it to other people. And says the Brayse, but we find similar type of halachas that although whoever's taking care of this thing is allowed to sell it, but he can't sell it to himself. So for example, Gabe Tzedakah, a charity collector, when there's no poor people to give out the money to that he collected, so they would swap the copper coins that he collected for silver coins, because the copper coins get ruined, and if he holds on to it too long, it's going to cause a loss for the charity. So he changes it, he only changes it for other people, if they have silver coins that they want to get copper coins, but not for himself. Again, because of people suspecting him. And so to Gabi Tamchi, the collector of, the one who collects food from the homeowners of the city to give out to the poor people every single day that they need to be able to eat two meals a day, and they have nothing to eat, so he would collect the food. So Bisman Shein Lamanim Lachalik, when there's no poor people to give out all the food that he collected, so he sells the food to other people so that the charity doesn't lose the money because they're getting money instead of the food, but he sells to others and not to himself. That's what the Braisa says. Says the Gemara, Ketanim, yes, but one thing that we learned in this Braisa was, Peiris v'hirkivu, if there's produce, they got rotten. My, what is that case talking about? Says the Gemara, Lava fili yesemech dechesroin, isn't it talking about, even if it's more than what the normal loss of how much a produce usually is, because we're saying it got rotten, and therefore asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, we see at least there's one of the two opinions mentioned that holds, that is Remeir, that you don't touch it. And the question is, Rabbi Yechanan, you said that everyone, meaning all the opinions, as we found in our Mishnah, was also machlekes, that when it's Yesh Mechtei Chesroinen, that you do sell it. And yet here we have, where it's rotten, it's gone, and still we have an opinion that says you don't touch it, which contradicts your opinion that you said that when it's Yesh Mechtei Chesroinen, everyone holds that you sell it. So that thing where it says, Loi, no. Mechtei Chesroinen. It's talking about within the normal range of how much it gets ruined. Now the Gemara asks, how can you say that? But Vayayin Vehichmetz, the cases that it spoke about was wine that's soured. Shemen vehivish, oil that's spoiled. Devash vehidvish, honey that's soured. The yesemech dechestroinen, and where they're more than the normal range of loss. They're actually totally ruined. And yet, still we see that you don't sell it. So that the Gemara says, shani hani, these cases are different. Why? Kiven to come, once they got ruined, come. They're already ruined, and they're not getting ruined anymore. So therefore, it says Remeir that you're not going to sell it, because what's the point of selling it? The whole point of selling it is to save the guy from getting worse, as long as when they reach Yesh Mechtei Chesroinen, Rabbi Yechanan says, so that's already really bad, but it could get even worse, so we sell it off. And that, Rabbi would agree that you sell it off, and because they're constantly getting more ruined. Here we're talking about where it's already done. There's nothing more that's going to get ruined, so that's what Rabbi says, that you don't sell it. Now, the Gemara asks, in explaining the Braisa, that shemen vehivish, dvash vehidvish. You have honey, you have oil that's boiled, you have honey that's soured. So as we continue to Medbeis, ask the Gemara, lamai chazu. For what the Chachamim said that you do sell it. So the question is, for what is it, what utility does it have? Who would buy soured honey and spoiled oil? So says the Gemara, shemen chazil legoldai, oil, even though it's spoiled, could be used to smear on hides. And the vash is lexisha the gamli, and the honey, although no one's eating it, but it could be used for the sores on the back of the camel, that its back gets sores from the loads that it carries. So that's the utility that it could have. So it could be sold. Now, but the Gemara asks, as we quote in the Braisa, Vacham Aim, they disagreed with Remeir, and they said, Islam Takana, that we do rectify the situation, Umaychan Abez, and we sell in the court. And that the question is, Maitekanta Avalahu, what exactly rectification could be done? Meaning, what are we saving? And that's exactly as we answered on Amud Aleph for Remeir, that to answer for Rabbi Yechanan, that no, Remeir would agree that if it's getting ruined and very bad ruined, that you would sell it. But what's the point of selling? It's already done. So then the question is to the Yeah. So what's understanding the Chachamim? What are we saving? What are we salvaging for him if it's already ruined? So Rav Ashi says, Likankanim, for the jug, for the container, that these things that were spoiling were inside of it, that if you leave that item inside, the jug, the container is going to get ruined. For that reason, you sell it so that he doesn't even lose the value of the container. So the Gemara is b'may kemiflikis. So then what is the fundamental principle that Remeir and Rabban disagree? In other words, since you explained that even Remeir agrees that when it reaches a really bad point, what we call yesem echdeches reinen, then you do sell it off, because Rabbi Yechanan says everyone agrees to that principle. So then what are they disagreeing regarding? So it is continuously getting ruined. So then why wouldn't Remeir agree to that it still could get more ruined? How so? With the kankanim. So why Remeir say that you don't touch it and you don't sell it? So that the Gemara explains, the Mar Savak Remeir holds, lehefsid merubu chashashu. Only for a large loss were the Rabbana concerned. For example, like Rabbi Yechanan described, what's called Yesem Echdei Chesronim, when it's reaching more than the normal how much it gets ruined, it's getting really bad and can get much worse, then you sell it off. But lehefsid muid, but for a small loss, for example, like what's called within the normal range of kedei chesroinen of produce that rots, and also Remeir holds for the case of the ruining of the container of that the spoiled wine is in, that's only a small loss. The container, it's not the primary value of it. Lo chashu, but that they weren't concerned, and therefore they preferred that you don't touch that guy's things. But Omar Sava, whereas the Chacham and the Braisa held that a full hafsid muid na machashashu. Even for a small loss, they were concerned something more could be a loss, even though the main thing was lost. The guy lost the honey, everything's ruined, but there's still the container that's worth a few coins, whatever it is. For that, they're also concerned, and therefore you could still salvage something. So the Chacham held, then you sell it. So therefore, we have not refuted the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, that he held that everyone would agree in this halacha of Yesim Echdeches Reinen. Now the Gemara continues quoting the halacha of our Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he disagreed with Tanakama. Tanakama held that you don't sell it off, which again Rabbi Yechanan says, but if it's more than Kedei Chesroinen, then you do. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, no, you machar mebezdin. You sell it in court, because it's like returning a lost object to the owner. If something's getting ruined, you do the guy a favor and you sell it off, even if it's not Yesim Echdei Chesroinen. The Idma, we learned, the Rebbe Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that if it's getting ruined, mice are starting to eat it, starting to get rotten, you sell it off. For Rav Amr of Nachman, he says, no, Halacha, Kedivra Chama, Halacha is like the Chama, that you don't touch it. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Va Amr Rabbi Yechanan Chadazim, the Rabbi Yechanan already said this, Halacha, once elsewhere, that Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah, and why would it be necessary for him to say specifically, explicitly in our Mishnah, that Halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Where do we find that it really says this somewhere else? Because the Amar Rabbi B'chana Amar B'yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said a general rule which includes the halacha of our Mishnah. He said, Kamakim Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Mishnah Seinu. Whenever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is quoted in our Mishnayas, halacha kamaisai, halacha fazakim, which would include the halacha of our Mishnah, chutz, there's three exceptions. Me'ariv, which the halacha discussed in Baba Basra, Kof Ayin Gimel Mabez, Vetzidan, which is discussed in Mesechta's Gittin of Ayin Dalam and Aleph, Uru'uya Achreina. And the last proof regarding halachas of monetary law, which is that's brought in Sanhedrin of Laman Alf and Alf, where there was two machlokes and two disagreements regarding someone that brings a document of proof to disprove the law that was said. So it's regarding the first one, the halachas like him, but by the Ru'uya Achreina, the last proof, meaning the second case that they disagree in, that the halacha is not like him. But one thing is that we see, Rabbi Yechanan says, halacha is always like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, besides those three exceptions, which includes the halacha of our Mishnah. So why would we need to explicit halacha of Rabbi Yechanan to say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Amayron in uvalibid Rabbi Yechanan. It's a machlikas amayron in the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. In other words, Rabbi says that Rabbi Yechanan said a general statement, which yes, would include the halacha of our Mishnah. Whereas Rabbi Abba says, no, it's not a general statement Rabbi Yechanan said. Rather, there are certain places that he says Allah is like him, and therefore it was you have to say explicitly that this was the place where Rabbi Yechanan says Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, but the Gemara asks as follows. Mid Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel nishma, what it would sound like is that from the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that again, that he says that you're going to sell the deposit of the owner that's by the Shimer, when he's not around, to save him his money that's getting ruined. So says the Gemara, it would sound like that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds the Meridin Karev, that we would bring down a relative who is fit to inherit someone else's land, Lenichse Shavri, for the properties of a person that was taken as a captive, to work and to protect the land until the owners are released from their captivity, which later on, the Gemara is going to show that this is actually Machlekes Amoraim. The Gemara wants to say, seemingly this Machlekes in our Mishnah parallels that Machlekes Amoraim. Because we see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that you do what it takes to save someone else's money when he's not around. So seemingly he would hold that when someone's taken a captive and his land might get ruined, you bring his next of kin, you bring the one that's closest to him that would inherit him to go ahead and work the land while he's not around. And midrabbanan nishma, from the rabbanan, that they say you don't touch someone else's things, even though it's getting ruined and he's not around. So you would hear that the emarid in karvel nechzei shavui, that you wouldn't bring a relative down into someone else's field when he's taken down in captivity. Although he's not around, it might get ruined, still you don't get involved. That's what it seemed like, that would parallel that machlekes amoraim. And that digma responds, umimai, from where do you know this? Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hacha. Maybe, where do we find Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the halacha of our Mishnah that he says that you do sell it, you get involved, you save someone else's money for the perish Sheher Kivu? That's Elam Shem de Kokala Karna. That's only because if you leave it there without touching it, the whole principle will be diminished, will disappear. Because the mice are going to eat it all up. Aval Hassam, but over there by someone's land or his vineyards, although yes, it might get ruined a little bit because no one's going to be tending to it, but it's not going to be totally diminished. The principle of the land is still going to be there. So maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel actually would hold that you don't bring someone else into that guy's field. And so too, we could say the other way around. Maybe only over here in the halacha of our Mishnah that Rabbanan say that you don't touch it even though it's getting ruined. That's Ella. That's only because Ikrav Kahana. Either because, like we said, Rav Kahana on Amar Aleph, because a person would prefer even just one kav of his even though the rest is going to get ruined. Or Ikrav Nachmi Yitzchak, or like Rav Nachmi Yitzchak, I said, because we're concerned that maybe the owner had made it Truma Mais and someone else, and you're going to run into that problem about either the owner's going to be eating Tevel, or you're going to be selling Truma Mais to Nankahanim. Aval Hasam, but over there, when you have someone's land that he was taken in captivity, Hachanamin Demeridin, maybe there, of course, you would put someone in the house to save him that loss of money when no one's going to be tending to his vineyard and to his land. Because there you don't have the concern of Reitzad Mekav Shalai, we're not trading off anything, and then no problem about maybe he separated Truma Maisa, because he's not talking about produce, he's talking about someone's land. So therefore, the Gemara says, love, it's not necessarily that's Tali and that Machlaikis, could be they would either hold either way. Now, that the Gemara responds back, remember the trade timing in you? Is that so? You want to say that the halacha of our Mishnah of the produce that's getting ruined and the property of a captive are two different halachas, and that there is those who could hold that you would sell by like the halacha of a Mishnah, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, by the produce that's getting ruined, but still would hold that you would not be maridin karav lenichzei shavu, that you wouldn't bring down someone to get involved in that property? But on that, as the Gemara, but seemingly we find that they are parallel. Because Va'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, that halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Halacha falls like Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, that you do get involved. You save that guy's produce. And so too we have on record that Va'am Shmuel also said, Meridin Karvel Nechzei Shavu, that you do bring down the relative to take over the property of the guy who was taken in captivity. Says the Gemara, Lab Mishum the Chataima, who isn't it because it's the same reason? That's why Shmuel says by both that same halacha. So seemingly you say that they are parallel, and that Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that Meridin Karvel Nechzei Shavu. I think Moses says, no, trade time, and it's actually two different, they're two independent halachas, and one wouldn't necessarily implicate the other. And the Gemara says, Hachinam Mestaber. And it's logical to say, like we're answering, that they're actually not dependent. Because the Amr of Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman's on record as saying, Halacha Kedir Chacham. Halacha is like the Chacham of a Mishnah that you don't get involved for the payers, you don't touch it. And still, the Amr Rav Nachman said, Meridin Karval Nechse Shabu, that you do get involved by the land of the captive, you bring down a relative. So rather you can infer from Rav Nachman that he holds that they're different, that train time and end of Shema Minot, that you could see that because they're two independent reasons, one does not necessarily implicate the other. As we said, Rishim Lul and Rabban, it could hold either one, may read in Karav Nesle Shavu or not. So the Gemara goes now and discusses that halacha. Itmar was taught that, as we mentioned before, that it's a machlik samarim, Shavu Shenishba, a captive that was taken in captivity. Rav Amar, Ein Maridin Karvel Nechasav. Rav holds, you do not take down his closest relative that would be fit to inherit him and bring him down to take over the land in the interim. Whereas Shmuel Amar, Maridin Karvel Nechasav. Shmuel says that no, you take the closest relative that would be fit to inherit him, and there's no one close to him, and you bring him down to work the land while that guy's in captivity. So the Gemara qualifies for us their machlokes. Bishashama by Shemais, when they heard that that guy who was taken in captivity had died, says the Gemara, Kul Amalei Pligi de Meridin. So then no one disagrees that you are going to bring down his closest relative to take over the functioning of the guy's vineyard and his land, because if the real owner, who they heard that he dead, really wasn't dead, and he comes to take back his field before the guy who is working comes to consume the produce, so there's no problem, because he'll still get paid the way a regular sharecropper gets paid, and he'll give the rest back to his relative that we thought he was dead, and gives it all back to him. And if there are witnesses who come that he really did die, so good. So the Irish was always there working, and he'll inherit whatever he worked for. So everyone would agree that you do put the Irish there, because either way it's a win-win situation. We're not concerned for anything going bad. If the guy is dead, so good, the Irish will have it already. And therefore there'll be no loss of the vineyard in that interim period until we found out the news. And even if the guy was not dead and he comes, so fine. So the Irish didn't lose by working on it. He gets paid like a sharecropper, and he'll get anyways his value out of the field. And the rest, which is the rest of the sharecropper doesn't take, will go to the guy who really owns it. But says the Gemara, Ki Pligi, when was the Machligis Rabin Shmuel, B'Shalei Shammu B'Shemes? When they didn't hear that he died. They just know he was taken as a captive. And that is the machlekes. Rav Amar Emarid, Rav holds, you don't bring down his relative to take over the field in the meantime. Because Dimamafsalu, the guy might totally destroy the guy's field. He's not going to fertilize the land, and he's going to plant continuously, which weakens the land. And we'd rather have nobody than have this guy there, because he's just going to totally use up that whole land and destroy it. Because he's like, let me hop around, let me get this. You know, my relative is out of town, he's taken as a captive. You know, he might come back very soon. Let me maximize and capitalize and take away, you know, ruin the whole field. So we don't bring someone in. Whereas Shmuel, I'm reading, Shmuel says, no, you do bring down the relative. Because Kivan to Amamar, since the master says later on in the next daf, that anyone that comes on to work someone else's field when he's not there, Shemin Lahu Ka'aris, we evaluate, we qualify that person like a sharecropper. So therefore, even if the owner's going to come, they're going to qualify and evaluate this relative's portion every year that he worked on it, like the custom is for sharecroppers of that city, whether it be to get half the profit or a third or a quarter. So loy mafsid lehu. He's not going to just totally ruin the whole field, because this might be a long-term investment. The guy might be a captive for 10 years. He also wants to maximize. He's getting money out of it. So either way, he's not going to ruin it. And if he would bring him down, because even though we didn't hear that he's dead, and if he might come back, but first of all, he might not come back. So he really wants to make sure that this land has longevity. And even if he does come back, fine. He's working as an aris. He wouldn't go ahead and ruin it the way Rav's concerned. So Shmuel says, you do bring down a relative to work it. Now that the Gemara is Meisvit. The Gemara is from the following Braisa on Shmuel's Halacha. The Braisa says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, he says, Mimashma Shenema. From this that it sounds like from that the Pasuk says in Shemais regarding somebody that afflicts a widow and orphans. So Hashem says, V'chara api, my anger is going to flare. V'harakti Esma, I'm going to kill you for hurting the widow and the orphan. No. So says Rabbi Elazar, Yudeani, so I know obviously if the male who tortured them is going to die, Shenishaseyim, Almanis, Ubenem, Yisayim. That obviously that means to say if they're dead, that their wives are widows and their children are orphans. So Elamata Malamas, and what does the Pasuk mean when it then spells it out, V'hoyun Nesheichem Begaymer, that your wives are going to be widows and your children are going to be orphans? Of course. If you're going to be dead, the wives are going to be widows and the children are going to be orphans. So that says Rabbi Elazar Melamed. So what the pasuk is actually teaching is actually a double curse. Shenishaseyim mevakshesli nase. Their wives are going to seek to get married, remarried. But the rabbis are not going to let them. Uvenem reitzin leri lenichsavim, and the children are going to want to go down into the father's properties because they're not around anymore. And the rabbis are not going to let them. The reason for that is because not only are they going to die, but no one's going to know that they're dead because they're going to be taken in captivity. And they're not going to know if they're alive or they're dead. So when it says that the wives are going to be widows, it means they're going to be widows forever because the court's not going to let them remarry. And when it says the children are going to be orphans, it means they're going to be like orphans, that they have nothing to inherit, they have nothing, they have no properties to themselves. And it's a double curse. One is that, first of all, the guy will die. But the second one is that not only will they die, but they'll die in captivity, and the wives and the children will not know, and therefore the wife's not going to be able to remarry, and the children not going to be able to go into his estate. But one thing the Gemara asks on Shmuel is that we see, what does it mean that the children are like orphans? That they can't go into their father's estate, because their father's stuff, you can't. They didn't inherit it yet, he might still be alive. But he's not around, he's in captivity. Didn't Shmuel say when the captive is taken and you take the closest relative, who they hear, in this case the children, to go ahead and work the land? So why does it say that they, like Yisrael, they can't go down? Obviously we see, not like Shmuel, that Amaridin, that we don't take down the relative. And he's not allowed to go into the nichse of his father. So that Rava answers for Shmuel. He says, no, the children could go down and work the field. When it says that they can't go down to the field, it means Leirid Velim Ketanan. The Mishnah was telling us they can't go down and sell from it. Sell, you can't, because the father might be alive. But work in the field, that is, like Shmuel said, we are to save the money for the father. We have his closest relative go down and work the field. Now, the Gemara brings an incident to illustrate this halacha, this machlekes of Rav and Shmuel. Hava uvdi bin Arda. There was actually such an incident that happened in Arda, where someone was taken captive, and then they went and brought their relatives, the closest relatives, to work on his fields. Now, but Rav Sheshes resolved the question from the Brisa we just quoted, that Ein Maridin, that you cannot go ahead and bring these relatives in there. And the reason being is because, as we see, they'll be like orphans, that because they don't know if their father's dead, and they're not allowed to go down into the fields. On that, Omle Rav Amram, Rav Amram then said back to Rav Sheshes, as the Gemara had answered for Shmuel, wait a second, how are you showing that you Ein Maridin? Maybe that price of Rabbi Elazar, what it was saying was that ein manichin, that we don't let, is that we don't let them go down and to sell the father's property. But to go down to work and to eat and to take like a sharecropper, then maybe that they are allowed to do, and therefore it is good that we did and we let these relatives go down. So that omalei, so this is more than what the Gemara just quoted before. So on that, Rav Sheshes responded to Rav Amram, Dilma mit Pumbadisat. Maybe you are from Pumbadisa. Why? Because the rabbis in Pumbedisa, they try pushing an elephant through the hole of a needle. In other words, they give very contrived and difficult answers, like trying to stick an elephant, which is a large animal, into a small hole. Because how can you say that, no, when it says that the sons can't go down, it meant, no, they could go down, but they just can't go down to sell. But the pasuk, as we see from Rabbi Elazar, is equating the wives as widows to the sons as orphans. And that is mahasim klaloi, just like by the wife, she totally can't remarry. Afhocha nami klaloi, here also the children totally can't go down to the field. And therefore, Rav Sheshes wanted to prove, not like Shmuel, and that Ema Ridin, Yershin Nechsei, we don't let the relatives go down into the field while the captive is taken away, if we didn't hear that he's dead, and therefore that's the double curse, where they're totally not allowed to go down into the field. Now, however, the Gemara says that although we said that this is a machlik samirom, says the Gemara, or meridin karv l'nechse shavu, this halacha about if we bring down a relative into the properties of a captive is tanoi. It's actually machlik is tanoi. Tanoi, like in the Braisa. Hayarid l'nechse shavu, if someone goes down into the properties of a captive, says the Braisa, that we don't take it away from that guy who's working the field. And not only that we don't take it away from him, but even if he heard that the guy who's the real owner is coming back, he was released from captivity and is on his way back to his field, and we called him the Tolash. Now this guy who was working on the field till now, on this whole year of working the fruits, and he goes quickly and he grabs out those fruits that he was working, and he eats it, so he's actually considered someone that's with alacrity, he was quick to go ahead and get a gain for himself before he loses. And Venisker, he's actually considered some of the gains with his reasons, with his zeal, to go ahead and gain something for his own benefit. Because you're allowed to go ahead and you to go ahead into the property of that of the captain. Now says the Brayis of Elohim Nichsi Shvuin. These are considered properties of captives, which that was the halacha that we just quoted in the Brayis, so that if someone worked on that guy's land, then we don't take it away from him what he worked. What would such a case be? Let's say the guy's father or his brother or one of the people that would bequeath to him when they died, inheritance. They went overseas. And we heard that he died. That is again the category that we spoke about, that everyone agrees, even Rav and Shmuel, as we said before, would agree. If we heard that a guy died, then we would bring down the Yairish. That's a case of, quote, like a captive, where, in other words, we know he's away, he can't come back. That's the halacha where a guy could go ahead and work the guy's land and he could eat it. Now, continues the Braisa, Hayarid Lenichse Netushim. Well, let's say if someone goes to the properties of someone that his properties were forsaken. Then actually, says the Braisa, Mitzinoi Samiyadai. Then we do take it away from him if he goes down to the land and works it and tries to take the produce from it. Now, Ve'elohe Nichse Netushim. What's considered forsaken properties? That's Harishah Yaveh Vayachah Vayechad Min Namarishon. That's of his father or his brother, one of the people that he would inherit from. Halchalem Lemnitziam, if they go overseas. Veloishalmu Bem Shemes. And we didn't hear that they died. That's where, says the Tanakhama, like the opinion of Ein Mayridin. Because although that the guy is far away and maybe he's not coming back, but still we say that you go ahead and you go down, we're going to take it away from you. You're not allowed to go down and work the guy's field. Now, on that, Va'omer Pshim Gamliel, he disagrees. Shemati Shanatushim Kishbuin. He says that I heard that these forsaken fields are like fields that are from captives, where that we don't take it away from him, which is like the opinion of Shmuel, that you are Maridin Lenichse Shbuin. Now, continues the Braisa with a third category. Hayari Lenichse Retushim. If someone goes down to properties that were a different type of forsaken. The Gemara later on is going to explain the difference between netushim and retushim. Retushim sounds like where the owner left it willingly, on with his own intention, and he went away. Now, since he didn't command what to do with his properties while he's away, so therefore, obviously he doesn't want anyone to come into his field while he's away. And that's why the halacha is, by retushim, that meitzinos miyadei, that we take it away from someone that comes down into the property. Now, whereas netushim are that the owners forsook it against their will, meaning because they were taken in captivity. Now, that's the machlekes hanum that the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that you don't take it away from him because it's mayridin, like Shmuel, that you could have the yerush come down in the case of shavui when the guy against his will was taken away from his property. Whereas Rabbanu hold that you do take it away from the person that works on the field of netushim. That is a case of like Shavuot when the guy is captive, because they hold that Emarid, and they hold like Rav, that you don't have the Yerush come down. Now, the Brisa just continues, says, Ve'elohe nixi retushim. What are considered the properties of retushim, this third category? That's Harishah Yaveh Vayachah Vayachah Menem Rishin Khan. That's if, let's say, that the father or the brother or one of the people that would bequeath to him was over here, Ve'en Yedei Alehechen Halchu. But they don't know where he went to. So in that case, that the halacha, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to go down there. If you go down there, we take it away from you. So again, there's three categories that the Braisa spoke about. One is where they heard that he's dead. They were even said before, Rav and Shmuel would both agree that for sure you introduce a Yerush then. Then there was the case of Netushim, which is how we're really qualifying as the case of Shavuyim, which is the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, which is the same Machlekes to Shem Gilil and the Rabbanon, regarding if you take it away from him, meaning do we let him go down and work it? That's the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, that's the Machlekes Rav Shmuel and the Rabbanon. And then we have the case of Retushim, which everyone agrees that you're not allowed to go down there and work, and if you do, we take it away from you. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Hanach de Karlo Netushim, what's the difference between the middle category that we called it, the forsaken ones, which is a case of when he was taken away by force, well, Maishna Hani de Karlo Netushim, and why the third category, where he leaves on his own, we just don't know where he went, where then no one could go in and work his field, why do we call that Retushim? So the Gemara explains, as we continue in the temple of Lama Testament Aleph, Netushim is connotes the Bal Karchai. It was against his will, meaning he was taken as a captive, and that's why his land is forsaken. That's the Machlekes of Shimon Gamliel and Rabban, and that's the Machlekes of if you're Yerush Lenichse Shvuyim. It says the pasuk in Shemayis. It says Vashvis, in the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, Tishmetena will release the land Unitashta and will make it forsaken, and that's against the person's will because it's Afka Asa de Malka. It's the freeing of the king, meaning the king Hashem commanded that no one's allowed to use their field on Shemitah, but not he willingly forsook it. He's not allowed to work his field. That's what's called Nitushim, as we see Unitashta. Ritushim, that term connotes the mitaitan, which was done with their intention. Like it says the pasuk in Hosea, it says Aim al banam rutasha. The mother on her children was abandoned, meaning with the person's intent, and it wasn't done against the person's will, meaning as captivity. Because the beginning of that pasuk says that there's going to be a bewilderment amongst your people, which means that the Jewish people were afraid that the enemy is going to come, and they're just going to totally abandon, even though there's no one even chasing them. They just go ahead and they escape. But that's when they forsake willingly with their own intentionality. That's why the third category is called Ritushim, and when he leaves on his own, everyone agrees he's not allowed to go down there to the field. And the middle category is called Netushim, which it's forsaken because he was taken as captivity. That's this machlikis. We find this machlikis tanoim, if we're yarid yarish lenichse hashvuin or not.